DJ Mouse here. Mousey for 104.1 FM.
And let's go to Greg in San Francisco. You're on KGO. Greg, how are you feeling? Good morning.
Oh, hi. There's a couple articles that seem pretty relevant. The let's see. First one would be from Pravda. Considered by Arabs and Persians as the only two existing democracies in the Middle East and Persian Gulf, Iran and Libya have governments and policies that threaten U.S. hegemony in the region. So, of course, Iran, you know, picked Mossadegh before we overthrew them, but the situation in Libya is, you're talking about the country with the longest lifespan in Africa. They went from the poorest to the richest.
Mm-hmm.
In 1984, the 15 gunmen attacked the residence of Colonel Gaddafi. A Sudan-based group called the National Libyan Salvation Front claimed responsibility. The CIA back-trained and continues to support them. The plot failed, and the National Front for the Salvation of Libya is led by General Youssef Margarif. Saudis have provided $7 million to the NFSL. CIA agents advise NFSL leaders and train their recruits in Western Europe, Sudan, and Morocco. Jack Anderson, Washington Post, 6/12/85. So the Contra Army that was going on in Central America against the socialist governments in Nicaragua,
mm-hmm.
Hasn't stopped with, in 1986, George Shultz called negotiations capitulation, and the next day dropped 350 bombs, murdering Gaddafi's daughter. And for a quarter of a century, we've been assassinating members of the first family there. So that what you see is obviously not the same thing as what's going on in Egypt and Tunisia, where Mohamed Bouazizi kicked the Arab Spring off.
Don't believe him. You know, his colleague Sayed. At the prosecutor's office, security told Sayed's mother and brother that he swallowed a bag of drugs and that there were witnesses to the incident who confirmed seeing the bag. Ahmad Badawi, an activist in Alexandria with Al-Ghad Party, G-H-A-D, went on 11th of June to the cyber cafe where the incident happened and said witnesses told him the drug bag belonged to the two policemen who beat him up as he was shooting a video of them while making a deal. Khalid was assassinated because of this video. So, never mind.
The attempt by the West is to conflate these opposite political movements.
Well, what are we to believe, though, when we take a look at Egypt, for example? And I remember talking about that every night because it was, well, you remember it. It just happened recently. And yeah. It seemed to me that they were looking to get rid of a dictator and to bring on, and they were doing it, trying to get a big election held, even, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, surprise, surprise, I just heard the word election. So let me go to the Jimmy Dore store. The agreement signed by Amy Dacey, the former CEO of the DNC, and Robbie Mook with a copy to Mark Elias, specified that in exchange for raising money and investing in the DNC, Hillary would control the party's finances, strategy, and all the money raised. Oh my.
Signed by Amy Dacey, the former CEO of the DNC, and Robbie Mook with a copy of the Mark Elias specified that, remember, Mark Elias is the Clinton's lawyer. He's the one who hired the Steele to work with the Kremlin to get dirt on Trump. So they hired him to go to the Kremlin. That's who he is. He specified that in exchange for raising money and investing in the DNC, Hillary Clinton would control the party finances, strategy, and all the money raised. Her campaign had the right of refusal of who would be the party communications director, and it would make final decisions on all other staff. The DNC was also required to consult with Hillary's campaign about all other staffing, budgeting, data, analytics, and mailings. So it was a completely corrupted, like as corrupt as you can humanly imagine some organization being. That's what it was. They weren't just helping Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was literally running the damn thing, making all the decisions of where the money went. Where do you think the money went? It went to her campaign. So I want to talk about Donna Brazile says all this. She's the one who lets us know about this stuff, right? And then today she tweets this out. Today's lesson, being quoted by Donald Trump means being misquoted by Donald Trump. Stop trolling me. I never said Hillary rigged the election. No, you might not have said it. You just wrote it in a book. You wrote it in a book. It's unbelievable. First of all, I never said Hillary rigged the election. Just that I called and told Bernie that, because that's what she said. This is the new, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. That's what this is. You have jizz on her dress. Yeah, but I didn't have sexual relations. What do you mean? Wait a minute. She could totally control the DNC. Yeah, but she didn't rig it. Sam, what do you make of this kind of BS?
Well, you know, I think what they tried to do was kind of address some of the stuff you've talked about in your last videos about how they gotten all these corporatists on. And when this stuff came out about Hillary, they tried to distance themselves. But instead of making them seem like, oh, we're open and now we're going to try to be more honest, it actually pissed people off even more.
Yes.
That donated.
Yes.
So now they're doing damage control of their damage control. They're doubling down on their damage control.
Yes.
She came out and she go, oh, yeah, they rigged it. You guys are right. We're like, oh, then you let them do it. And now people pull back even more.
Yeah.
And now she's trying to call. Now she's trying to do the damage control. And it's just awful, man. It is just awful.
Yeah, I never said the election was rigged. My book is fan fiction.
That he has proof that Seth Rich was a WikiLeaks source for the DNC emails, and I explained that in my RT segment, that he's willing to go ahead. He's willing to testify under oath. In fact, Kim.com on his Twitter went and actually, dear Donna Brazile, get to the next flight to New Zealand. I will provide 24/7 security, a safe house, and a top legal team. Talk about Seth Rich.
We've stated the following. If either of us are shot twice in the back, WikiLeaks offers a reward, tweets out numerous times information about the murder. And then an investigator talks about a DC police cover-up and the fact that that evidence is lost either at the FBI or the DC police. And then Kim.com speaks to a legal team, offers to testify saying that he knew us, that he is willing to go ahead under oath in Congress with Special Counsel Mueller in the Russia probe, in front of everybody in the world, provide evidence to find our killers. We don't want BuzzFeed or the Washington Post or CNN to prevent the investigation or to prevent discussions. That's number one. This is a progressive issue. It's not a fringe right-wing topic. Number two, the entire Russia probe is based on circumstantial evidence. When asked directly, James Clapper, Maxine Waters, Dianne Feinstein, James Comey have stated there's no direct evidence. They do not possess any direct evidence. That points directly to what Rod Wheeler, the investigator that spoke right to Fox News, stated. He never stated that he specifically saw the emails that Seth Rich wrote, that the correspondence between Seth Rich and WikiLeaks. So that's number one. Number two.
All right, hang on. Hang on here. I know we got a lot to cover here. We don't have a whole lot of time here. Hank, let me go to you in New York. I mean, respond to some of the things that H.A. just said there, because what I would say that he's fact-driven, and he's laid out facts, okay, that are verifiable. No one so far has talked about theories. Go ahead, Hank.
Mm-hmm. Look, I believe in democracy, and I believe that in democratic practice, you air the facts and you go find them. You don't put together a string of things that might be related, that could be related, and would be related. I trust Robert Mueller to come up with facts and to make them, not alternative arguments. And we're
now he's going to go on to say, now, Seth Rich, who's this guy? Some little shrimp. it's not credible because Seth Rich is just 27 years old. Well, let me go to the Intel Hub, Washington. A four-year resident surgeon at Washington Hospital Center claims Seth Rich was alive and recovering well in facilities ICU after being treated for a total of 3 routine gunshot wounds. That is until a number of law enforcement officers arrived 8 hours later, kicking most everyone out of the ICU and physically barring doctors and others from attending to Rich. Surgeon who witnessed this behavior decided to come forth with the information, despite the fact that he or she may be easily identified, posted on May 17th to 4chan under the anonymous ID RHOTYJAG. Surgeon wrote, the fourth-year surgery resident here who rotated at WHC, Washington Hospital Center, last year. It won't be hard to identify me, but I feel that I shouldn't stay silent. Seth Rich was shot twice with 3 total gunshot wounds, entry and exit and entry. We performed an X-lap and found a small injury to segment 3 of the liver, which was packed, and several small bowel injuries, pretty common for gunshots to the back exiting the abdomen, which we resected, 12 centimeter of bowel, and left him in discontinuity, didn't hook everything back up, with the intent of performing a washout in the morning. He did not have any major vascular injuries otherwise. I've seen dozens of worse cases than this which survived, and nothing about his injuries suggested to me that he sustained a fatal wound. In the meantime, he was transferred to the ICU and transferred 2 units of blood when his post-surgery crit came back to up 20. He was stable and not on any pressors, and it seemed pretty routine. About 8 hours after he arrived, we were swarmed by LEOs, and pretty much everyone except the attending and a few nurses was kicked out of the ICU, disallowing visiting hours. Normally every odd hour, e.g. 1 a.m., 3 a.m., etc., is not something we do routinely. It was weird as hell. At turnover that morning, we were instructed not to round on the VIP that came in last night. That's exactly what the attending said, and no one except for me or another resident had any idea who he was talking about. Okay, I will go back to the asshole motherfucker who just said he was nobody. This is not credible because the guy that the swarming LEOs are calling a VIP wasn't anybody. God damn it, where is that asshole?
We're a long way from coming up with anything close to saying that this young man was murdered because he knew something about something, and the idiocy that the right-wing media has talked about that some of the Clintons are engaged is complete nonsense and doesn't help this at all.
Okay, Alex, well, how do you respond to that? Because we know a murder was committed. We do know that this gentleman worked at the DNC. We do know that Assange over at WikiLeaks commented on this. A 27-year-old was murdered in Washington. Why would he do that? Or, to be fair to everybody and our viewers, maybe he was covering up his tracks for the real source. I don't know. Go ahead, Alex.
Look, I think Assange definitely added some weight to this investigation by noting that there was a 27-year-old DNC staffer that was the source of the leaks. When Assange did that back in August, it drew the attention of a lot of people as to this whole investigation for the Seth Rich murder. Now, fast forward to today, and you had this this PI, Rob Wheeler, who literally stated that there was a high official, a high source at the Democratic Party, who was snooping around and asking the police as to how far he had gotten with his investigation. Now, the other day, Wheeler decided to expose who that person was, and that person was Donna Brazile. So now you have Donna Brazile in the middle of this investigation that's going on, and he's trying to figure out how far this private investigation has gotten. So you have a lot of people in the mix now that are adding weight to this Seth Rich murder. So while you do have a lot of circumstantial evidence here, the case is picking up a lot of steam. And I want to point out it's picking up a lot of steam without any of the mainstream media focusing on the case. So it's really being driven by the internet, by alternative media, and the Google searches are showing that the Seth Rich case actually has more interest than the Comey case. So people are indeed interested to find the truth.
Okay.
Donna Brazile, interestingly enough, was worried about her life because of a botched robbery. Isn't that bizarre? Donna Brazile reveals paranoia of Russian spying on her, snipers peering through her window. In yet another bombshell from Donna Brazile's upcoming book, the former interim head of the Democratic National Committee describes the paranoia she went through surrounding the Russia-linked quote-unquote hacks of Democratic emails during the 2016 presidential campaign. In the memoir, which will have the title Hacks, even though the DNC has never given its computer service to the FBI, the CIA is only highly confident, the NSA is moderately confident, CrowdStrike, the only company, the only entity to look at DNC service, has already backtracked on its initial claims of knowing that one of the hacking networks hacked into a Ukrainian artillery app. That never happened. Even the Ukrainian military was like, no, that never happened. They had to backtrack on that claim. Hacks, the inside story, the break-ins, breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. Brazil talks about the mysterious murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich, which is because he leaked. Okay. Leaked internal emails. So. She goes ahead and says it haunted her. Why would the botched robbery haunt Donna Brazile? Massive public relations machine influencing votes towards Clinton in 2016, but especially during the primary, and now trying to backtrack and say that even Donna Brazile is wrong. But here's the agreement. And it's not just vote. It's not just the fact that votes were changed because the pragmatic choice was said to be Clinton. It's DNC officials actually colluding with the media, trying to push narratives that Bernie couldn't win, he didn't have his act together. Debbie Wasserman Schultz calling Chuck Todd. We know from Maggie Haberman, Glenn Thrush working with the Podesta campaign. But here, this is the actual agreement that Donna Brazile is talking about. September 1st, 2015, commencement. September 11th, appointment of Clinton-picked communications director. October 1st, first cash payment of $1.2 million. March 31st, 2016, termination date. This is to Amy Dacey from Robbie Mook. Okay, so from the Clinton campaign to the DNC. This memorandum is intended to memorialize our agreement regarding the creation and operation of Hillary Victory Fund, a joint fundraising committee of Hillary for America and the Democratic National Committee. This was a secret. This was done in secret agreement because it breaks campaign finance laws. There needs to be a wall of separation between super PACs and the DNC and super PACs and the presidential campaign. Of a candidate's presidential campaign. Hillary for America is prepared to raise and invest funds into the DNC via the Victory. But the funds being raised, but the funds being taken were raised by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who promised the primary was neutral. You cannot promise the primary is neutral and impartial and then pocket money and then give it to Clinton via this secret agreement. That's not just overt collusion, it's criminal. We know from the lawsuit waged by Jared Beck, Elizabeth Beck, and Nico House that this is all criminal. When you say that, well, you know, Matthew Iglesias of Vox, you know, it's just an agreement, it was for the general. Simply writing an agreement saying you're going to cheat is the same as cheating. It's actually bolsters the fact that you cheated. You wrote it down. What they do is they hide behind bureaucracy to then legitimize their overt criminal behavior and wrongdoing. And as they say, well, it's an agreement. You know the bylaws and this is actually okay because, no. It's all done in secret and it's all legitimized real time by Debbie Wasserman Schultz saying the primary is neutral. I'll keep reading. Hillary for America is prepared to raise and invest funds into the DNC via the Victory. Why? How could that even be allowed? That's not allowed under campaign finance laws. You can't have, and the reason it's not, well, we know this is all done in secret. They didn't publicize this for a reason. In return for this financial support, Hillary for America requires the appropriate influence over the financial, strategic, and operational use of these GFA-raised funds. So, JFA-raised funds. So, they already talk about, with respect to hiring of a DNC communications director, full doc, Clinton DNC secret agreement, dated August 26, 2015. With respect to the hiring of DNC communications director, the DNC agrees that no later than September 11, 2015, it will hire one of two candidates previously identified as acceptable to Hillary for America. Hillary for America is a super PAC. I got it. So when you go ahead and Hillary for America PAC, Hillary for America is a super PAC. What is a super PAC doing hiring the communications director of DNC? While Debbie Wasserman Schultz is saying that it's neutral and impartial. While Bernie Sanders voters are giving money under the guise, under the belief that it's impartial and neutral. How is that not a rigged primary? How is that not a rigged primary? The entire charade, facade, theatrical performance was, we're going to have this primary, and that may the best person win. And behind the scenes, super delegates, people were being hired by Hillary Clinton. Money was flowing through Clinton's campaign into the DNC. So who do you think they're all beholden to? Bernie? And she still was the presumptive nominee. She needed super delegates to get her to the threshold to actually win the nomination. She did not have 2,383 pledged delegates. She went in to the convention without the 2,383 pledged delegates that she needed. So she went in, and then she got all the superdelegates to switch. That's with this collusion. That's with all of this. She couldn't even get the 2008. She was the presumptive nominee. With respect to the hiring of future DNC staff in the communications technology and research departments, in the case of vacancy, the DNC will maintain the authority to make final decisions. Okay, agreement by the DNC and a Hillary victory. Personnel will be consulted, right, and have joint authority over strategic decisions. Maybe because so Donna Brazile.
Even after she writes a book,
it's unbelievable.
Completely,
they had the DNC was basically an arm of the Clinton campaign.
Still blame Trump. That's what
they actually could hire
Trump.
People at the
amazing?
DNC.
So what? Who they should
you imagine
be
if Bernie and it's the same people at Vox and
the Democratic
imagine
Party,
if the tables were
the donors,
reversed?
Barack
if
Obama,
Bernie could actually hire people at the DNC, if Bernie actually funded the DNC, if Maggie Haberman, Glenn Thrush, all of these people actually consulted with Bernie before they wrote something. If MSNBC, CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times, The Daily Beast, Vox, the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Donna Brazile, all of them were beholden to Bernie. Imagine what Vox would say. Well, they
do
say,
they
well,
claim,
you know,
they claim Susan Sarandon, Jagoff YouTubers, the Russians. That's fucking amazing.
I cannot believe that no blowback has gone on Obama.
None.
Black Jesus can't do anything wrong, man. Cannot do. It's like.
Yeah, so what they did was they kept the. You're supposed to shrink the DNC in off years. They didn't. They kept paying Barack Obama's consultants out of the DNC, which just goes to show you that it's just one big money laundering organization, and it always has been. So they keep taking your money, and instead of putting it into stuff they're supposed to, they're giving it to their friends, consultants, who then are millionaires, who then kick them money back. And it's one big non-stoppable revolving door. So it's not only the people who come from the agencies inside the government, and then they go work for the agencies they were supposed to be regulating. That's horrible enough. But only this at the DNC, where you give money, do you think it's going to the DNC? It's going right to Brooklyn, which is Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters. That's what's happening. And Donna Brazile, I don't know, you're from the tinfoil hat. I thought you were going to say, looks like she got a death threat overnight, right?
I wouldn't, dude.
Doesn't that look what it's not?
Clinton body count was in pretty
New York
high.
Was dissenting, you, and this is the point of the program. Go ahead real quick, Hank, and then I will go to HA. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Donna Brazile probably had a comment about whether she had a drippy nose that day, and Assange probably had a comment about how nice it was outside or wasn't. What does that have to do with facts? We're talking about facts. A young man was murdered. The family has asked people to stop this craziness. He's 27 years old. How high up on the food chain could he have been at the Democratic National Committee? Are we kidding? Is
okay.
this a joke?
Well, I mean,
Yeah, gotta finish that article. I forget where I finished. VIP. Because he was saying how high up on the food chain. So when the snuff death squad showed up, the pigs in blue, pretty much attending, and a few nurses were kicked out. So yeah, it was weird as hell. At turnover that morning, we were instructed not to round on the VIP that came in last night. That's exactly what the attending said, and no one except for me and another resident had any idea who he was talking about. No one here was allowed to see Seth except for my attending when he died. No code was called. I rounded on patients literally next door, but was physically blocked from checking in on him. I've never seen anything like it before, and while I can't say 100% he was allowed to die, I don't understand why he was treated like that. Take it how you may, Paul. I'm just one low-level doc. Something fishy, though, that's for sure. And the rest of us out here in America, we're familiar with the bend over and spread them with the rubber glove when they check for drugs. You know how that is. And it's happening to every single person who steps into a phone booth. Because when you let the death squad of pigs in like that to murder the people that are telling us what's happening, and when we do step into that joke, we're all getting raped, you know.
Completely irrelevant.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Not relevant.
H.A., go ahead in Los Angeles.
The issue is evidence that a person, a world-renowned figure named Kim.com, is willing to testify on. So what are people afraid of? What is Oliver Darcy at CNN or Dave Weigel at the Washington Post afraid of? What are these Democratic strategists afraid of? You simply have a world-renowned figure named Kim.com willing to testify under oath, spoke to a legal team. So how many conspiracy theories do you have where a person speaks to a legal team, is willing to say, yes, Seth Rich worked with me, he was a WikiLeaks source, I have the evidence, I'm willing to present it to special counsel Mueller under oath with the penalty of perjury. What is the problem with it, with at least giving Kim.com a chance to present his evidence? The entire Russia probe is based on circumstantial evidence, where when James Clapper or Dianne Feinstein is asked, do you have a check from Trump that he wrote to a Russian hacker, no one has any direct evidence. So when Kim.com states he spoke to his legal team, he's ready to present in a court of law or in Congress, what is the reluctance, what is the paranoid, maniacal frenzy to stop this man from testifying? Okay. If indeed Seth Rich was a source, Seth Rich was a source,
let me go to Alex here. Gentlemen, we need equal time for everyone. Alex here, but from what I'm understanding, Seth wasn't just some functionary at the DNC. Was he something more than that?
No, he was, you know, the media has been presenting him as a staffer, but he was actually a data analyst, and he was in charge of a lot of the voter system. So this is someone that knew his way around computers. This is someone that would easily be able to understand the significance of the data that he was taking from the DNC, and he was also someone who would understand how to provide that data to WikiLeaks. So we really need to know exactly what Seth Rich's position was at the DNC, and if indeed he was the person that passed on the information to WikiLeaks. And it's extremely important because this narrative, this story, runs in parallel with the entire Russiagate fake news story, which was concocted by Hillary Clinton and Robbie Mook and John Podesta. So if this turns out to be true, that Seth Rich was indeed the leaker, it literally blows apart. It blows apart the entire fake news of the Russiagate narrative. That's why this story is so extremely important, and that's why I think a lot of the mainstream media is not touching it. They have orders not to touch it. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to dig deeper into it.
Okay, Hank, in New York, Hank, go ahead. Go ahead, Hank.
So far, robbery.
And why have reports surfaced, especially from the Seth Rich investigator, that she went ahead and called off DC police. So we have all these, you talk about circumstantial evidence pertaining to Russia, which there's zero, even the circumstantial evidence is ridiculous. With Seth Rich, you have a botched robbery, but no suspects after a year. It's a low-level crime. You have DC police claiming it's a botched robbery, but then taking his laptop. Then you have Rod Wheeler, who is suing Fox News, but Fox News deliberately went ahead and sensationalized and edited his words. He never even backtracked anything. Jamal Thomas has a video with him, a great interview. He's been interviewed numerous times on YouTube. Rod Wheeler never backtracked. We have Oliver Darcy, who literally quoted of CNN, who literally quoted Rod Wheeler a total of less than 10 words in his original hit piece, saying that it was a right-wing conspiracy. Less than 10 words, Oliver Darcy quotes Wheeler. And then Oliver Darcy on Twitter says to me, and I have the tweet, screenshot, everything, says, oh, I have a letter from Rod Wheeler stating that it was accurate. Well, that's funny, because then Rod Wheeler sues Fox News for the same type, really for leading to the Oliver Darcy CNN hit piece. So obviously, a hit piece is not accurate if it's true that Rod Wheeler thinks Oliver Darcy's piece at CNN is accurate. I'll apologize. But all of this is so convoluted because it's yet another lie. Priscilla writes, she was haunted by murder of DNC Seth Rich and feared for her own life, shutting the blinds so snipers could not see her. Matt Drudge. It's just unbelievable. I apologize for kind of being all over the place this segment, more so than I usually am. Donna Brazile is a pathological liar, along with Hillary Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They're three of the biggest liars on the planet. And it's not just like a lie like Trump says, oh, I'm going to build a wall and he doesn't build a wall, or oh, I'm going to lock up Hillary, he doesn't lock up Hillary. That's yet to be determined whether he does those things. He needs Congress for the wall. I don't want the wall, but whatever. With Donna Brazile and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, oh, the primary was not rigged. Then it was rigged. Donna Brazile's, oh, I didn't pass debate questions. That was the Russians. Oh, yeah, I passed debate questions. Hillary Clinton, I survived Bosnian sniper fire. Oh, I didn't. She lied about, how do you lie, if you're Hillary Clinton, how do you lie about surviving sniper fire? That is pathological. Then Debbie Wasserman Schultz, oh, the Awan brothers, yeah, you know, I'm paying them, it's all a big smokescreen. It's about hate. You're going after the person's ethnicity. It's not about a potential espionage, potential whole bunch of things that I explain in the Awan brothers and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. These people are not just politicians who lie, especially Hillary Clinton, Donna Brazile, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They are perpetual liars. And the Seth Rich issue, and the interesting thing is, people, they would turn on the Seth Rich family just the way they're turning on Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile is like an enemy now of the same people who said Seth Rich was just killed in a botched robbery. Think about that for a second. The same people who are saying, how could you politicize the murder of a young man who was a Bernie supporter, who was an idealistic human being, who knew the corruption that existed, who almost certainly was the WikiLeaks source whom Kim.com is willing to go ahead and fly to the U.S. to speak about. He's already won his legal battles, just like Julian Assange will eventually win. Kim.com, all of them will eventually win. Assange will eventually be free to live his life as he deserves.
Seth Rich will be in the winner's circle with Gary Caradore. Oh, they're both from Nebraska. So, anyway, check out the Franklin scandal if you want to know what Seth Rich obviously knew that might have ticked him off.
Kim.com will eventually be victorious in all his legal battles. All truth eventually, in this case, in these instances, will prevail. And in terms of Seth Rich, the truth will come out. The rats are abandoning ship, ladies and gentlemen. The power of the Clinton, whatever you want to call it, crime syndicate, whatever you want to call it, is decreasing exponentially, is dwindling exponentially every second. And the two-faced, fickle, backstabbing, duplicitous, disingenuous, evil public relations executives / quote-unquote journalists in the media, whether it's CNN or MSNBC, will turn on the Clinton syndicate, whatever, that groupthink, in a second.
Of course, don't forget who had them as their wedding guest.
In a second. And then they'll all say, oh yeah, well, by the way, we, you know what? New information shows Seth Rich was linked to the DNC, was a source of WikiLeaks. And they'll pretend like they never tried to silence you and me. You're dealing with people who are not right in the head. It's not like they're insane. They want something. They want to perpetuate a myth or a mindset, and that's all they want. They're like this frenzied, maniacal human being that wants something. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. They want to fight Trump. They want to beat Republicans. They're stuck in 1990s Clinton-era mentality. Anything goes. Anything's justified. Circle the wagons.
There's no way.
That's all going to come collapsing down. Give me your thoughts below. It's unbelievable. WikiLeaks completely destroys the narrative that there was no collusion. If anything, Donna Brazile was an apology to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. This whole thing was about the whole Russian hacking nonsense was about Russia interfering in the election by letting us know the Democratic primary was rigged.
What? They're going back Manafort back to 2006 to get him, but somehow something that happened in 2013 is old news. And she got 100. By the way, what you're supposed to believe, Sam, around the Uranium One deal, you're supposed to believe that some guys who were doing shady uranium deals and were being investigated by the FBI for money laundering, kickbacks, all kind of bribery and extortion, those people really wanted to help people, so they gave $145 million to the Clinton Foundation, not to buy influence, but to make sure they helped people.
It's unbelievable. I'm blown away.
Who gives $145 million to someone who's going to be president of the United States and doesn't want influence?
If I gave you that money, Jimmy, you better say nice things about me on this show.
Believe me, I would. So, a guy bought me lunch last week. I'm still saying nice things about him. That's just human nature. Someone gives you a gift, you can't help but be nice to them.
See, it goes back to the whole thing. It's like the Republicans don't have – it's this game that gets played. Who are your constituents? And if you know, the Republican constituents are make as much money as possible, powerful military, no taxes, so they can do what is basically corruption.
Yes.
The other side has to play this game, which is this facade of – we love everybody. Inclusion. We are the Justice League. We fight for what's right. We do all this crazy stuff. And then behind the scenes, they're just as bad as the right. But and that's why it's coming out so hard and it's hitting like such a sledgehammer, because it's been basically lies for the last, what, 20 years?
Not only are they just
National Security Advisor to President Trump is being investigated by special counsel for accepting legitimate payments from Turkish companies for researching and exposing wanted terrorist and radical Islamist Fethullah Gulen and his $25+ billion criminal network in the United States. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller is the special counsel in charge of the case. He is the same Robert Mueller who used his position as director of the FBI to shield and cover up Gulen's criminal terrorist network and operations and take drastic measures to quash a whistleblower's Gulen-related reports. These previous connections and actions by Mr.
which was appointed to investigate the Trump administration of possible collusion with Russia during the 2016 presidential election. The leaked information was first reported by NBC News, suggesting that the special counsel has enough evidence to charge Trump's former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and his son Flynn Jr. in the investigation. As Zero Hedge points out, it appears Mueller's special counsel has a serial leaker working in conjunction with the media. Although when it comes to the Clintons and Uranium One, everyone is pretty tight-lipped.
Reports suggest that the Clinton Foundation received millions of dollars from interested parties in the transaction. Bill Clinton received $500,000 for a speech in Moscow, June 2010, from the Russian government-aligned bank. The same month as the speech, Russia began the uranium acquisition process.
Without confirming or denying the existence of any particular investigation, I would say I hear your concerns and they will be reviewed.
As for the Trump administration and the ongoing investigations with the special counsel, the leaks continue to pour like a sieve. Now, it's very important to remember that this special counsel was appointed to investigate collusion between Russia and Trump, not between Flynn and a Turkish businessman. The NBC article does not report any connection to the Trump administration or General Flynn to Russia. Instead, NBC reports that Mueller's special counsel is investigating Flynn because of a contract between Flynn's intel group and a Turkish businessman who is not a Turkish government official. Flynn's intel group was hired to expose the radical Islamic cleric and wanted terrorist Fethullah Gulen before Flynn was even in the Trump administration. NewsBud has been ahead of the curve on this whole story, as NewsBud's founder and FBI whistleblower, Sibel Edmonds, was the first person in the United States to expose Gulen and his global criminal network headquartered here in the United States over a decade ago. The Gulen network is facilitated and protected by multiple U.S. intelligence agencies, including the CIA and the FBI, while Mueller was the director of the FBI.
I just wanted to draw a little parallel between Jan Schakowsky and Clay Shaw, David Ferry, of course, the gay couple. And in both cases, that's how we are manipulated, is because we are blackmailable, because the FBI had pictures of FBI J. Edgar Hoover in pink tutu. The FBI could never acknowledge, or J. Edgar Hoover said the mafia doesn't exist. Okay, but just that little parallel in this little story.
The Gulen network is involved in drug trafficking and money laundering. NewsBud's Sibel Edmonds has been exposing Gulen for over a decade, and just a few days ago went on record blowing the whistle exposing Special Counsel Mueller's conflict of interest in this Flynn case.
General Michael Flynn, former National Security Advisor to President Trump, is being investigated by Special Counsel for accepting legitimate payments from Turkish companies for researching and exposing wanted terrorist and radical Islamist Fethullah Gulen and his $25+ billion criminal network in the United States. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller is the special counsel in charge of the case. He is the same Robert Mueller who used his position as director of the FBI to shield and cover up Gulen's criminal terrorist network and operations and take drastic measures to quash a whistleblower's Gulen-related reports. These previous connections and actions by Mr. Mueller create a direct conflict of interest with his current position as a special counsel in Flynn's case and require that he must immediately step down from the case.
Every American needs to see this video right now, and the full video is open to all and will be provided in the show notes. NewsBud also recently traveled to New York City and conducted an exclusive interview with a man who found himself at the center of the Flynn scandal. The exclusive report is an investigative slash breaking news slash documentary that's over an hour and 20 minutes long with multiple exclusive interviews exposing Gulen, exposing the collusion between the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Obama White House, and the Clintons to concoct this scandal.
So far, there's not a case. So far, there is nothing. So far, there's an investigation. Case implies that there's a judicial proceeding that's going to occur. We don't know that. We don't know what any of this means, and I'll feel much better, and I think everybody ought to have their moment in the sun, but I'll feel much better when the FBI interviews whoever they want to interview about Seth Rich at the time that it's appropriate. This is a longer issue that's going on for some time. Is it fake news? Well, the FBI will tell us, and Mueller will tell us. That's not the question here. The question is a conspiracy theory that implicates people that, frankly, also got implicated in Ron Brown. It never happened.
Yep. Okay, but
These things don't happen.
H.A., there was...
Nobody's working on killing people.
H.A., jump in here. There was some kind of criminal investigation. I hope it was a murder, after all. Go ahead, H.A.
Yeah, yeah. For the D.C. police.
The FBI requested the DNC's computer servers numerous times. Yep. The FBI requested the DNC's computer servers numerous times. Mm-hmm. The DNC refused each and every request. I have a petition that's over 6,000 signatures to get the DNC to give its computer servers to the FBI. So you want to talk about a conspiracy theory. Why did the DNC not give its computer servers to the FBI if they claimed that Russia hacked the DNC?
Do you have a copy of the subpoena served on the
James
Democratic
Comey,
National Committee?
James Comey, are you calling James Comey a liar? Are you calling James Comey a liar? James Comey stated
do you
that
have
he asked
a copy of the search
FBI
warrant?
Asked for the D, the F. Are you calling James Comey a liar? I don't think so. James
Peter,
Comey stated that the FBI asked for the DNC's computer servers. That's a fact. The DNC refused each and every request.
They asked for them for what?
So don't talk. Yeah, it's a fact. That's a fact. That was in the Hill.
It's a fact.
That was in
the Hill. Hang on, H.A.
What does that have to do?
Gentlemen, hang on here. If everybody talks over each other, no one can hear what you're saying. Let me go to Alex here. You want to jump in there?
Just real quickly, it is a fact. James Comey asked for that information. He wasn't given access, and a private security firm called CrowdStrike passed on the information to the FBI, and they had to analyze everything from a third party.
Who hired CrowdStrike?
CrowdStrike?
1 minute. 1 minute, please. CrowdStrike actually had to back off from a lot of the claims that they made in the beginning as well. So they've even walked back the claims of the hacking and how it was hacked. So this is also something that's been unreported. But you have the FBI basing an entire leak on third-party investigation. It's not enough. It's not enough.
I don't know. I haven't seen the FBI. Have you seen copies of the FBI conclusions of its investigations? I haven't. You haven't.
No one has, but the point is that why was the FBI not allowed to investigate the DNC service?
All right, gentlemen, I have a hard break here. We're going to go to a short break.
That's a fact.
And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Seth Rich. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Seth Rich. Okay, H.A., I think it's really quite obvious why the mainstream media doesn't want to touch this story. And it's clear that they don't want their current narrative, that they spend endless amounts of time, print, money, is the Russiagate story. They're still milking that. I think it's losing a little bit of its steam. They're going to move to obstruction of justice now. That's going to be their new mantra here. But they've built up this narrative here. And as far as I'm concerned, and I think it's fair to say I've been watching it as probably as closely as anyone on the planet here, I still don't see any evidence whatsoever here. And the murder of Mr. Rich it takes air out of that, and it deflects from the narrative that they've been pushing day in and day out for almost 11 months now. Go ahead.
Kim.com is willing to testify. He's willing to testify to provide evidence regarding Seth Rich being a WikiLeaks source. He worked with Seth Rich. He's willing to go ahead. He spoke to a legal team, his legal team. He's willing to go ahead and provide evidence. If this was about Russia and somebody, and Kim.com was saying he was going to provide evidence directly leaking Trump to Russian hackers, the Washington Post, Dave Weigel, Oliver Darcy at CNN would make this into the biggest, most important story on the planet.
What? That is certainly a positive happening, you know, that's happened so far this year in Egypt. The problem is that in this country, you know, we started declaring most of the people enemy, you know, and they couldn't vote.
Right.
And actually, most of the people are women, and they couldn't vote.
Right.
You couldn't vote if you were property. You know, only the rich white man could vote. The smallest percentage on the continent is what we call majority rule here. And so we maintain this illusion that we call democracy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Arab world, Libya and Iran are recognized as sovereign. You know, they're free, they have freed themselves from the colonial hand that Egypt and Tunisia were wresting themselves away from. So we're conflating opposite political movements here.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but you're saying that no, they aren't having their revolutions to get a democracy and complete my sentence for me. They are having their revolution to do what?
Well, who are we talking about, Libya?
Well, let's talk about Libya. Aren't they trying to get rid of a dictator and perhaps put in a different system?
The people that were cut out are, and we're backing them. We always support the underdog until
right.
we pull the rug out. You know, it's divide and conquer.
Right. So, well, it's I do appreciate your call.
Stood still on the highway.
The rest of you here in a moment.
I saw.
And but it's a
by the side of the road.
Fascinating time.
With a face that I knew like my own, reflected in my window. Well, she walked up to my quarter light, and she bent down real slow. A fearful pressure paralyzed me in my shadows. She said, son, what are you doing here? My fear for you has turned me in my grave. I said, Mama, I come to the valley of the rich, myself to sell. She said, son, this is the road to hell.
Because when Andrea Lewis asked Kennedy killer Vincent Bugliosi to break down the magic bullet that turns left and right and does all this damage and left in pristine condition, he said conspiracy theorist, and she dropped dead of a heart attack like Gina Hota in the local heart attack epidemic, along with OD editor Father Bill O'Donnell. but never mind, there was that thing about the JFK records that Trump blacked out, except for this one little thing that tries to paint Russia, tries to call Jack Ruby part of the mob that was kicked out of, that Castro kicked out, trying to call Jack Ruby a commie because he knew Lee Harvey Oswald, who was in the setup parading with the pair play for Cuba, is the obvious setup, is the Patsy. Okay, a fool could know this. And nobody who knows about the third rail, third tower that killed Andrea Lewis, or because I talked with her, she repeated that on the air, two planes knocking down three buildings. Before, of course, all that. No one is that stupid. And okay, they lie. Okay, the right are lying when they pretend to be that stupid.
On your journey across the wilderness, from the desert to the well, you have strayed upon the motorway to hell. Poison.